And Detective Eric Edson from the Sheboygan Police Department is in with us this morning. If you're a regular listener, you know he joins us usually a couple times a month, keeps us always on top of the latest scams and fraud that's actually impacting our area here. Eric, right. Good morning. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too. I'm great. Feel like I haven't been here in a little bit.
What's that?
Feel like I haven't been here in a while. We missed about a month.
Oh, that's right. Brandon was in for you a couple weeks ago. So,
right.
Yeah, it's been about a month. So,
right.
Yeah. All right. Publishers Clearinghouse, you won scams. That's
yeah.
What you want to start with this morning. What's going on, Eric?
Yeah, so anyone that's been listening to the station has probably heard the Publishers Clearinghouse ads going on right now.
Yep.
It's going on for a few more days. But we've had recently in our community people that have gotten these similar calls. And I was actually talking to my wife last night and mentioned that I was going to be on the radio and talking about this. And she said that she's gotten calls on her phone. And as soon as they say they're from Publishers Clearinghouse, she just hangs up. But, you know, so even, you know, it's affecting my family. And a lot of people are getting these calls. And hopefully people know enough to just hang up. But for people that aren't familiar with these types of scams, it's not just Publishers Clearinghouse. It's other ones, too. But the trick is always they're going to say that you've won some magnificent prize. They're going to try to identify themselves usually as a mainstream organization like Publishers Clearinghouse. Some of you have heard of to add some legitimacy. But then they're going to say that they need to pay. You need to pay processing fees or taxes, or there's always going to be some hook where they're going to insist that you send them money. And of course, it's not going to be a legitimate thing. It's going to be go buy a gift card or buy a prepaid card and give me the numbers. And we just want people to know that that is always, without exception, going to be a scam. No legitimate business operates that way. Publishers Clearinghouse doesn't notify you ahead of time that you've won something. It's going to be a legitimate kind of a thing, and you're never going to have to pay any money to win a prize.
Sure.
So that's what we want people to know. Never pay to win a prize. They don't need your bank account number. They don't need your checking account number, credit card number, anything like that. Don't give prepaid gift cards. We've talked about this a lot in the past. Don't give these numbers to people because it's just like sending cash and you're not going to get it back. Once you give people the numbers on the back of the card, they're not traceable. We're not going to be able to get your money back. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Usually people, you don't really know anybody that wins this money. And if you start hearing, people are getting these phone calls, your red flag should go up. And then don't trust your caller ID or email headers. We've had people say that, well, it said Publishers Clearinghouse on my caller ID or on the text message. Those things can be easily manipulated. You cannot trust what it is. So don't let yourself fall victim to this. You never have to pay money to win a prize.
Scammers, as we've talked about, Eric, I've become very sophisticated, and they're able to make it look like it's a legitimate call or, legitimate text or website or what have you. So
right.
It's on us to be up to speed on the red flags, right?
That's right. And so, sometimes people ask, well, what should I do? Should I call the police if I receive one of these calls or get one of these emails? You certainly can. It's unlikely that we're going to investigate it, but there's a website that the federal government maintains called IC3. We have a link to that website on our website under the fraud page, and you can report it to them. They are kind of like a clearinghouse for all this information, and they will collate all this, and if there's a pattern or something that they can follow up on at that level, they will. Really, what people should just do, though, is just hang up the phone, block the telephone number. If you see an email or a text message, just delete it. Block it. Don't respond to it. Don't try to engage these people in conversations because that sometimes will lead to other types of fraud that they're trying to perpetrate on you. They may be sending messages to verify that it's a good telephone number. Next thing you know, you're going to be inundated with spam phone calls and text messages. So best thing is just to hang up and block the number.
Yep. Good advice. Anything else on that this morning, Eric? You want to move on to?
I don't think so. I think that's just, it happens all throughout the year, but right now it's really hitting hard because the Publishers Clearinghouse is having their legitimate sweepstakes. And we have had a couple people locally that have lost significant amounts of money, believing that they won money or a car or something like that. And it's really unfortunate. But, what they do is they push you to a heightened state, emotional state, that you get you all excited or flustered, and they try to take advantage of that to have your guard let down and to try to steal your money or information. So it's easy to see how it could happen, but you really just have to, when you get a call like this or a message, to take a pause and just kind of scrutinize it a little bit more and know that, like I said, you're never going to have to pay money to win money.
Right. I had to do that actually yesterday, now that you bring it up. Everybody, I think, is kind of in the loop. I was in Milwaukee yesterday meeting with some surgeons. As I'm driving back home after my day was done, My phone rang. I didn't answer it. I was driving, so I just let it go to voicemail. I didn't recognize the number anyway. So when I went back and listened to it, they, I forget what company they said they were from, but it was some sort of a health, like mm-hmm. they, it was almost as if they knew I had a doctor appointment, and they were calling me as I'm driving home, thinking that I'd pick it up, and they'd just say, we're from whatever company, and we sure. want to talk to you about your insurance with your medical
yep.
appointment. It was something along those lines. He just left a rambling message, and because they didn't say they were from Freightert, which is where I'm getting all this done and have been working with them for a couple of years, that was a red flag to me immediately that, okay, if they were really involved with my insurance and my the hospital I'm at, they would have mentioned
right.
something like that in their message, I would think. So I didn't call them back. When I looked up the message on the web, apparently it's a number that repeatedly makes these types of calls. And
sure.
So it was a scam. It was a total scam.
Right.
But I never called it back.
That could be a coincidence. That could be that they, you know, there's all kinds of trackers out there when you go online, and yep. Google has things that read your emails. And who knows what that could be and where that information comes from. There's, you know, a lot of the scammers are, they play a slow game. It's not, they're not in it for the quick buck. They're going to take their time and hit the big score. So, that, you know, they could be collecting data for weeks, months, years
sure.
about you and having dossiers about you. So, it just really shows the importance of verifying that information when you receive a call like that. Even if it sounds legitimate, maybe just hang up and call the number that you know is Freightert or whoever it is and say,
sure.
are you guys trying to get a hold of me? And
yep.
things like that, because it's just, it's way too easy to impersonate somebody else.
No doubt about that.
Right.
You got to tell us about, there's patches out there now for zero day vulnerabilities. I
yes.
have no idea what that means. Clue us in there.
So not to get too technical, but a zero-day vulnerability is something, an exploit in software, hardware, some kind of program that the manufacturer or the vendor is not aware of. So the zero-day means that you haven't had any time to be warned about this to patch your system. So until the vendor actually realizes that there's a vulnerability, issues a patch, and you update your system, you are vulnerable to this type of attack on your system. So it stresses the importance. Recently, it's been Apple, Google, Microsoft, big names that we all interact with usually on a daily basis that have had their programs or software affected. So it's just really important to know that when someone issues a software update or a patch, do it right away. Don't delay. Don't wait for it. Maybe have your stuff set up to automatically update. That's the safest policy. Usually you should install like a reputable internet security suite that has antivirus, firewall, that kind of stuff. That will help mitigate some of the issues with these zero-day vulnerabilities. And then also only use essential applications on your phone or your computer. The more software that you have running on your system, the more vulnerable you are to these types of attacks. So even people a lot of times will have antivirus or stuff on their computer, but not on their phone. And they don't realize that their phone is just as vulnerable. Same with, we've talked about before, the Internet of Things, your webcams, your smart thermostat, all that stuff is vulnerable. You need to make sure that you're updating the firmware, the hardware systems on there, the software, and making sure that everything is up to date with the most recent security patch so you don't fall victim to this. It's hard when the vendor doesn't know about it because, you know, there's not a lot you can do as a consumer, but just keeping your system updated and having that good antivirus and firewall on your system is a good start to mitigate that.
All right, Eric, we're going to have to wrap it up there. Good information again, as always. Thanks for coming in. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Sounds good, Kelly.
All right, have a good one.